Chapter 3. Social Security Options for Married Couples. Married couples should understand that, subject to rare exceptions, the spouse with the strongest earnings should wait until age 70 before applying for Social Security benefits. I can't stress that enough. Married couples need to think about Social Security as a team. The decisions and choices you make when applying for Social Security will have a direct effect on the benefits that your spouse will receive while you are alive and after your death. Therefore, it is critical, essential even, to consider not only your own income needs, but also the needs of your spouse during your lifetime and after your death. In this chapter, we will look at the effects of your decisions while you are both alive and what happens after one partner dies, which is perhaps even more critical. Let's consider, for the moment, the basics of long-term financial planning for married couples. Virtually all my clients who are married say their first goal is to ensure the financial security, as well as the health and happiness, of both spouses while they are alive. The second goal is to make sure the surviving spouse is still protected after the first spouse dies. For many couples, the best way to accomplish both goals is for the individual with the stronger earnings record to wait until age 70 to apply for benefits. Why? To answer that question, you need to understand how spousal benefits and survivor benefits work. Just for the record, spousal benefits are different from the benefit that Social Security pays to a surviving spouse. I address the critical issue of survivor benefits in the next chapter. Spousal benefits allow you to apply for benefits based on your spouse's earnings record, but there are some rules. 1. The primary earner must currently be receiving retirement or disability benefits for the spouse to be eligible for a spousal benefit. 2. The spouse claiming a spousal benefit must be at least age 62. And 3. Generally, the couple has to have been married for at least 1 year. So if you are married and your spouse has applied for Social Security benefits, you may be able to file for benefits based on your spouse's earnings record. And that can be valuable if your spouse was the higher wage earner. If you wait until your full retirement age, FRA, to apply for spousal benefits, you will receive one-half, 50%, of your spouse's primary insurance amount, PIA. If you're divorced, by the way, you might even be eligible to receive spousal benefits on your ex's record, but those are different rules that I'll cover in Chapter 8. In times of inflation and rising prices, Social Security benefits are also increased by COLAs. There have been years when the economy has stagnated and Social Security recipients have not had their checks increased by COLAs. But if COLAs are awarded, they are applied to spousal benefits as well as the primary earner's benefit. For the moment, let's look at a simple example that does not account for COLAs. Over the course of their marriage, John worked outside the home and Jane did not. She stayed home to raise their children. Now, both age 62, they are dreaming about the day when John can retire and would like to know when it will be financially possible. John's Social Security statement indicates that his PIA at his FRA of 66 is $3,000 per month. Jane has no earnings record of her own, but will be eligible to apply for spousal benefits based on John's record. If she waits until her own FRA of 66 to apply for benefits, Jane's spousal benefit will be $1,500, or 50% of John's PIA. Therefore, if they both wait until FRA to start taking benefits, they will have an income of $4,500 per month. Just out of curiosity, let's look at what would happen if Jane applied for spousal benefits before her FRA, and it's not good news. For every month in advance of her FRA that she applies, Social Security will permanently reduce her benefit. So if Jane applies for spousal benefits at age 63, 36 months before her FRA, she'd only get $1,125 per month, or 37.5% of John's benefit. If she applies at age 62, she'd get even less, only 35% of John's benefit, or $1,050. Now let's look at what happens if John, fundamentally a two-marshmallow person, waits until age 70 to receive his benefits. Note that, under the new rules, this delays Jane's ability to apply for spousal benefits until she is age 70, because in this example, they are both the same age. By age 70, John's PIA of $3,000 will be multiplied by those 8% raises for 4 years, plus COLAs, which for simplicity's sake I'm not accounting for here, which increases his benefit to $3,960 every month. Jane's spousal benefit at age 70 would be $1,500, or 50% of John's PIA. Wait a minute. What? Didn't I just say that Jane's spousal benefit would be $1,500 if she and John both applied at age 66? And now I'm also saying that Jane's spousal benefit would be $1,500 if they both waited until age 70 to apply? That can't be correct. Unfortunately, it is. Do you remember when I said earlier that Social Security benefits aren't getting any more generous, and in fact are going in the other direction? Well, poor Jane is feeling the effects of that firsthand. Her spousal benefit will not be increased by John's 8% raises if she waits until age 70 to apply. And because of the change in the rules, Jane can't collect spousal benefits until John applies for his own benefit. Under the old apply and suspend rules, John would have been allowed to apply for and then suspend his benefits. That, in turn, would have allowed Jane to collect spousal benefits from ages 66 to 70, at which point John, at age 70, would begin to receive his higher benefits increased by those 8% raises. Figure 4, which appears on page 37 of the print copy of this book, shows the difference in John and Jane's outlook if they both apply for Social Security benefits as soon as they are eligible at age 62, if they both apply at 66, or if they wait and both apply at age 70. The assumptions I used in Figure 4 can be found on page 99 of the print copy. And I can hear the outcry already. The difference between applying at age 66 versus age 70 is minuscule. I'm going to take my money and run. Well, before you march down to your local Social Security office with your papers in hand, I want to point out two things. First, there is a significant difference in their wealth during retirement if both John and Jane apply at 62, represented by the solid line, compared to applying at age 70, the dotted line. But quite honestly, my first concern isn't about giving you a better lifestyle while you're both living. I'm more worried about making sure that the survivor has enough money to live on after one of you dies. So, if you think that that difference shown in Figure 4 isn't enough to justify waiting until 70, then I think you need to read the next chapter when I show what happens if John dies and Jane is left on her own. That is where you will finally see why it is so important for the primary earner to wait to file. Now let's change the scenario. After years of raising the kids, Jane takes a job working outside of the home. Based on her personal earnings record, Jane's Social Security statement indicates that her PIA at FRA is $900. The Social Security statement also compares her benefit based on her own earnings record with the benefit she is eligible to receive as a spousal benefit. In this example, Jane's spousal benefit, $1,500, is higher than her own benefit, so Social Security will calculate a spousal add-on, which means that she will receive an amount equal to her spousal benefit. What if Jane's own benefit was higher than the spousal benefit she's entitled to? Then she receives her own benefit because it is higher. The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 took much of the guesswork out of filing for spousal benefits. Since the new law took effect, individuals who turn 62 after January 2, 2016 are automatically deemed to be filing for every benefit they're entitled to. So, for most of the people listening to this book right now, your application will be fairly straightforward. When you file, Social Security will compare your own benefit to any spousal benefit to which you might be entitled and give you an amount equal to the highest benefit. As of this writing, there remains one exception to the general rule about applying for spousal benefits, and that would be to file a restricted application for benefits. It is a way to get more money from Social Security, but it too is on its way out, courtesy of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. It simply has a longer phase-out period than apply and suspend did. In order to file a restricted application for benefits, you had to have been born on or before December 31, 1953, and your spouse must either be collecting benefits now or filed an application to apply and suspend benefits under the old rules. If this is you, please read Chapter 5 closely because you might be able to collect up to $60,000 in additional benefits if you qualify. Now, I know there are going to be readers sputtering at my insistence that claimants cannot collect spousal benefits unless their spouse is also collecting his or her benefits. They'll say things like, "My Aunt Edna is collecting spousal benefits while her husband, Uncle Herbert, the primary earner, is not yet collecting his. Why are you telling me I can't do that too?" Well, luckily for Edna and Herbert, they are taking advantage of one of the Social Security loopholes that the government eliminated for new applicants in 2016, unfortunately for the rest of us. So unless you were born in the right years and followed the advice in our last edition and submitted an application for the apply and suspend technique by the deadline, you're too late to take advantage of it. Now that you've seen just how much of a difference your decisions about when and how to take Social Security will affect you during your retirement while you are both living, please read on. Those decisions will become even more critical after the death of your spouse. For a free copy of our Roth IRA conversion book, The Roth Revolution, go to www.paytaxeslater.com/books. For our video and audio version of this book, as well as other financial resources, go to www.paytaxeslater.com/the214k mistake.